right, come on in. Everybody grab a drink. You're officially in section 112. Welcome to episode 2. I am your host, Spale. Buckle up, because we got a little something in store for you guys today. You know, let's get right into it. You know, we'll start off with, the first news of the week, which would be the acquisition of Derek Etienne Jr. by Toronto FC from the Atlanta United. Not a bad trade, I'd say. I'll get into why I don't like about it, but not a bad player at all. He's not a, well, let's pull it up here on the screen for the people watching. Not a bad player at all. He's an MLS veteran. He's been around the league, I think 4 different teams, if I'm correct. New York Red Bull, Columbus Crew, Cincinnati might be in there. Either way, I guess it is in the article here if I do read it. Good winger. Definitely can bring something to the table. Does have a supporter shield. Does, I think he does have an MLS Cup as well. Yeah. The gentleman does have international, keep in mind it is with Haiti, but he does have international games under his belt as well, where he has contributed 41 caps, as I'm reading here. 8 goals, 7 assists with the national team, so not bad at all. The only problem I would say is it does not address our need being that we need a striker. I see where Prince is coming from. Like, I see that he is, you know, obviously he's putting games together. He's making things happen. But I'm not quite sold that he is the go-to guy that's going to put this ball in the net. Let's just say that. I don't know what other plans they have, moving around bodies and whatnot. Obviously, Larea is still out. You have Savannah's still out, so you do have some guys that are still injured, so this will help. But again, I don't see how it fills the hole that we have right now, which is, to be honest, a starting striker or one coming off the bench. We have neither. We have nothing. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too critical on that part, but either way. I am optimistic to see what he's going to do. I do feel he's going to help us out. But like I said, he's not that that stud we're looking for to pop the ball in the net. A little bit of a deal. Let's take a look here what is part of this deal. So exchange 200 in GAM, general allocation money. Not bad at all. 175 more if certain performance-based metrics are met. I don't see in the article here, quickly scanning it, what those are, but for our sake, let's hope he does meet them. If he meets them, that means the team is doing well as well, so I'm good with it. I'll go with, I'm not a fan of the MLS pay structure, how it works anyway, so I guess you're getting the best you can get out of the deal. Other than that, I really don't know much about him. Time will tell. Hopefully he's not like the other MLS veterans that have been in and out, either not like Toronto or not worked out. So I guess time will tell, like I said. So just taking a look here at this guy's size here. So he's 5'10", 170. So yeah, 27 years old. So he's not really, I mean, he's a kid, but not really a kid. Either way, I don't know. We're not going to go too much more about that because, you know, first I am going to try to keep this short, but we're not going to go too much into it until we see what he brings on the field. I hope for the best for him, for the club, for all of us. And let's see what happens, you know. Second thing I wanted to discuss, it is obviously the Canadian Championship that took place this past Wednesday. It was Toronto FC against Simcoe County Rovers, a team from Barrie, League One team. They were the League One champions. I give them a lot of credit. they represent League One really well. For those that don't have a League One team in their city to follow or to go check out a game, the football is good. It's good. We'll leave it at that. They had to have had tame expectations coming up against an MLS club, obviously, but the 5 goals does suit the style of play that comes out of League One. Where I come from, we do have a club that I do go check out every once in a while. My son actually plays in their youth academy, affiliated with the Toronto FC program. So it's football, you know. It's Canadian football. It's getting there. Let's just say that, you know. We'll leave it at that. It's getting there. Either way, I find that Simcoe County played very well. They had as much of the possession as I thought they could have. They had little moments and spurts where they did show a little bit of attack, but unfortunately with a club like Toronto FC, you're going to get punished unless you're solid in the back when you do things like that, and that's exactly what happened. It doesn't help them when Toronto, I think it was 39 minutes in, Toronto already had 4 goals in. So for the ones that didn't catch the game, I mean, I'd say it was about a 15-minute flurry where the Rovers really let their guard down and Toronto capitalized. I think there was like a flurry of 3 goals scored somewhat in the 15 minutes or so. So either way, good performance by Toronto. A little bit, you know, marred by the comments, or I guess the tweet by Herdman after, saying that he was very, not very, but he was disappointed that Toronto didn't break the club scoring record, which would be the 6 goals. And to be honest, these 6 goals were, that game has a lot of dark cloud over it. Whether Montreal played their best, either way, you know, the comments, I guess, took a little bit away from the game. But I do see where Herdman's coming from. The game should have been 7-8 goals. That's going to bring me into this next topic, which is what would be the reason why it wasn't. And it would be solely on the keeper from Simcoe County. This gentleman's name is, we're going to pull him up here for the ones watching on the screen, Remy Olutunji, born in Toronto, Ontario, young kid, 23 years old. Apparently he was a Toronto FC product at some point, because I did see him showing up on, TFC Academy. Here we go, we're down here to the transfers here. So he did start in the TFC Academy. The goaltender, he was unbelievable. There was moments where I couldn't even believe that he was making some of these saves, and full respect to him. I hope he gets a look at, again, I know he did, so if you take a look here, he did come from Forge FC over to Simcoe, but I do feel that this guy does need to get a couple more looks here. He could definitely, you know, if the money's right for him, or if that's what he wants, he could definitely be getting introduced into an MLS side. There is some goaltending gaps in that league. So, again, one game I seen from him. I tried to look up some clips here and there. Didn't see much more about it. But amazing. Great job for him. Kudos to the Rovers. Congratulations. You did make League One proud. But more so, congratulations to our boys. Jonathan Osorio was just a beast. They could not tame him. They could not control him. He was at every end of the pitch. I'm pretty sure from where I saw, because the first goals fell on the opposite side of the field. So hard to see, but I'm pretty sure he was involved on 3 of the first goals. So Ozo's a beast. Every time it's a Canadian championship, CONCACAF, anything to do with these domestic cups or international cups, Ozo comes through. The captain does come through. So congratulations to him. Congratulations to the club. Congratulations to Prince, continuing his scoring streak. And Cassius, congratulations on the first goal on the first start. So great job, boys. Great job overall. Gonna move on through here. I don't wanna keep this too long, so we are gonna just keep on rolling through here. One of the things that I did see on the X platform, formerly Twitter, was a little something about Ayo Akinola. Some of you might remember him. Ayo. Oh boy, where do I go? For the ones that don't know much about him, been with the club for a few years now. Really made his breakthrough in the MLS is back tournament. He had an amazing tournament. Quite a few eyebrows were raised looking at him. He did actually get a run for the Canada program for Herdman. Herdman did give him the call up. He did end up getting hurt, unfortunately, and never seemed to recover from the actual injury. It was a knee injury, kept him out for a while. I'm going to be honest, I never thought he was in physical form to perform at any type of, a level that would, I guess, make an impact. The boy could barely play 25 minutes, let alone trying to get him in there for 60 minutes or a full game. It just was not going to happen. You were not going to get that performance out of him. You take a look at guys like Berna. He's running up and down the field full 90 minutes. You look at Osorio, he doesn't stop 90 minutes. A handful of guys out there, they just don't stop. And Ayo did not have that in him. Either way, apparently on X, I did actually see the tweet. I cannot believe that I did not write who to credit for this tweet. But apparently Ayo Akinola has unfollowed TFC. What that means, I don't know. I'm a Generation X guy, so I don't know what following and unfollowing means, but from what I'm seeing in these circles or in hearing, I guess, on the forums, that pretty much means that he has done any affiliation with the club. Used to just kind of get announced that you're done, but apparently now you unfollow. Either way, I don't know if this is true or not. You haven't heard anything from the club, obviously, and I haven't seen anything else show up anywhere except on Twitter today. So hopefully it's not true. You don't want to see this young man, this Toronto native. You don't want to see the young man leave the club in these terms. You know what I'm saying? I don't see a spot for him on the team. He is supposed to be one of those guys that comes in off the bench and puts in goals for the last 30 minutes. It's not going to happen. You watch him run. You watch him move off the ball, on the ball. It's painful at times, to say the best. Just slow, predictable, slow. So unfortunately, I do believe his time is up with the club, but it would be unfortunate to see it all come out and fall apart the way it seems that it's going to be falling apart. Either way, but from what I know, usually where there is smoke, there is fire. So I am going to assume that our boy Ayo Akinola will not be in Reds uniform again. We're going to just going to jump into the last thing here. Finish this off because I am going to be putting out another one tomorrow. It'll be the post game to what I'm leading into here, to the Orlando City match. The boys, the Reds, will be down there. It's a very winnable game for us. Should be winnable. I don't know. I'm a diehard, so I feel that they all should be winnable. But, I'll start with the injury report, okay? Here, I'll just get this out of the way right away. Insigne out, thigh. Larea out, thigh. O'Neill out, thigh. Savigna out with a knee. Questionable is DeAndre Kerr. He's got a foot injury. Who knows? Either way, since we are thin, I would say DeAndre Kerr is going to be needed. I don't think, and I haven't seen anything on Etienne being able to play. I'm not sure if he'll be in the lineup or not. So DeAndre Kerr would definitely come in handy. We do need bodies. So either way, the season matchup, the head-to-head matchup, 8 wins Orlando, 8 wins Toronto, 3 draws. So pretty evenly matched when it comes to that. Form going into this game, Toronto FC does have the edge there with the back-to-back wins. You know, obviously scoring 5 goals in any game is going to boost your confidence. So that Canadian Championship midweek hopefully does that for them. Let's see. Orlando has been struggling. They've got, their fair share. I wouldn't say they're struggling, but they got draws. They got wins. Well, let's see their last, what do we got here? Their last 5. They have a loss, a win, a draw, a win, and a draw. So the only unfortunate thing, if you are a TFC fan, is that the last 3 matches we have played against them, they've recorded a clean sheet on all 3 of them. It was 4-0, 4-0, and 2-0. So hopefully we can break that little drought and at least do something. I believe this team can. This is not the same TFC that these guys seen last year and in 2022. Solely because Herdman is not Bob Bradley. Bob Bradley did not have that team from day one. He did not have control of those players. He did not have the respect of those players. He did not have the buy-in from anybody. Sometimes, to be honest, I don't even think his son was buying into what he was doing. Either way, that's all water under the bridge. That's all behind us. Herdman's going to have these boys ready to play. Herdman's going to have them defensively sharp. Keep in mind, okay, Kansas City game, not a good showing defensively. A couple blunders, goals go in. Vancouver game, let's just forget about that. I don't even know what the heck happened there. The Vancouver game, that didn't happen. But after that, he got them to calm down. The team has mellowed down. You take 3 losses in a row as a TFC fan from the years in the past. Well, the last few years. You have no clue what to think. I'm sitting here thinking, oh boy, am I going to be watching another 2 wins at BMO for the rest of the year? No, I don't think so. Herdman will have these boys ready game in and game out. This is the start of the year. I expect these kind of things to happen. New coach, new players, new system, new everything. I feel that he will have them at the same level that he had Team Canada. Women's program, men's program. He is the man that can do it. The players buy into him. The fans buy into him. The management obviously buys into him. So, I tell you what. I believe in Herdman. And I believe in TFC this year. And let's go Reds. Let's see what happens tomorrow night. Like I said, let's go, boys. I'll be here. I'll be hollering. I'll have my drink ready with me. And come on, boys. Let's go Reds.